The thing I love about our services is that they're always fresh. And we spend our time in prayer for the service. We're asking the Lord to move by His Spirit, to quicken things to our hearts, to heal, to deliver, to bring things to pass that only He can do. Because you see, in this church, we believe in the supernatural. We believe that God will do things beyond ourselves. We recognize our own human frailty, but we understand that with Him nothing is impossible, and that our God is delighted to work signs and wonders and miracles. It is Christ through us who is seeking to reach out to the world. I don't have to save the world. Jesus already has. It's just a matter of letting Him use me and work through me to reach out to this world, to preach this gospel, to deliver the word of the Lord to them. You see, we become the messenger people. We bring the message. And the message, it's even deeper than the fact that you bring the message, you become the message. And when you become the message, then the people can see Christ in you. They see the things that you're saying, that you believe in, that you may say to them in the workplace or in the restaurant or down at the, you know, the JC or whatever it may be, the Walmart, wherever you run into them, they see the reality of it in your life. It's not this that you have a message, you become the message. You become the message. And you don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. It's just living out your life. It's just letting Christ in you have the glory. It's letting Him work through you. It's just allowing Him then to use you in whatever capacity He wants to use you. And so, you know, you just find yourself praying for people wherever you're at, whether it's on a street corner or it's, you know, it's in the sanctuary someplace. But you're just letting God use you in this way. And you have this confidence in Him. You have this confidence in Him. The thing that makes you bold, the thing that makes you bold is the confidence that you have in God, that God's got your back. That God's got your back. That's very important. And a lot of Christians, because, well, people, it's a thing of Adam's race. We've been betrayed. We've been let down. We've been stabbed in the back, as it were. You know, and so we're not always sure as far as another human being when things get tough or something may happen that would maybe throw us in a negative light, whether those people who express the fact, you know, that we're going to have your back, whether they'll still have your back. You know, they'll still be there for you. And so what it does, it throws a shadow over our God to where we think, well, He's like us. You know, our God's like us. He's like a human. Well, He is human, but He's God, and He's the God-man. And the eternal God is nothing like us as eternal, infinite spirit. And you have to understand that our God always has our back. Our Lord is always going to back us up as we walk with Him. There's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but in the Spirit. And there's a little condition there. You have to walk in the Spirit of God, but there's no condemnation. And so you have this confidence. You get this confidence. You know, when I pray for people, where I'm at, just like this morning, I mean, I'm expecting that to happen right now, whether it's a healing for someone or a release in the Spirit or praying for a loved one or, you know, believing them, you know, that the money's going to come, the house is going to open up, the vehicle's going to come, whatever it may be, I just believe it. You know, I have this confidence because after 40-some years of doing this and walking with God, I've seen God answer so many prayers that I have this confidence about Him. And you see, when it comes to people, you have to understand, human beings are very complicated. And Scripture tells us that it is something about the human heart to where a human can't even know their own heart, that the heart become very deceitful, where you can't even know your own heart. And that's why you go through the test. It's like Adam was sharing about that sword. He puts you in the fire to heat things up. And then He draws you out, and He cools you off, and He brings a tempering to you, and then He sharpens you a little bit more. You're a little bit more sharp. You're just that much more of an edge to you. And so when you speak and when you minister, you catch people's ear. You know, they know that what you're saying, you've experienced. So you have this confidence that God has your back. So when you tell them that the Lord's going to provide for them, you yourself have been provided for. When you tell them that God is going to heal them, it's because you've been healed. It's when you tell them that God is going to protect you and keep you safe, it's because you've been protected and kept safe. As you see, you get this confidence in God with walking with Him, believing His promises. And His promises are yes and amen. And it's the answered prayers that are so significant. Confidence in God. I can't overemphasize. As a matter of fact, I want to deal with this morning, because the thing that we want to do is have this tremendous confidence in God, that our God has our back, that He is our friend. He is our God, but He is our friend, and He's got our back. And He wants us to walk in His word and walk in His will and to experience what David said here. This is in Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. This is what King David said. Look at these words. I love the Lord. Now, and he's not trying to mince, oh, I love the Lord, because, you know, He just fills my heart with ooey, gooey, fluffy things. I just love. No. He says, I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. David loved the Lord. You know what David is? David loved the Lord because David was a man who prayed and God answered him. That's why David loved the Lord. David loved the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. King David, you know, the great shepherd king. Here's what he says. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice, my prayers, and He's inclined His ear. The thing I love about the Lord is He answers my prayers. I don't just pray. I pray to get answers. And I pray to get yes answers. I pray to get the nod of the Lord. Just like some of you are nodding, I pray to get the nod of the Lord. Because you see, in Scripture it says that every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Yes. A lot of people pray thinking God's going to say no. Or they'll pray because they think they're in the Garden of Gethsemane with, like, the Lord Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. Lord, if it be Your will. Oopsie, now it gets a little quiet there. But you see, it's okay to pray that if you don't know what the Lord's will is. Lord, what is Your will? See, you want to find out what the will of the Lord is. Paul even says that. You know, find out what the will of the Lord is. So you want to enter into what you're entering into, knowing what God's will is for that, because you want to pray in such a way that you're going to get an answer that will benefit the very blessing that you're looking for. It will just drop on your head. It'll come into your spirit. You'll feel it in your body. Jesus Christ, as it were, will come, and He will strengthen your spirit. It's not insignificant that Paul prays at the end of, or speaks the word at the end of several of his letters. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And the Lord wants to be with your spirit, make it strong inside, comfort you inside, challenge you inside. So it's these answered prayers. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice, because He's answered my prayers. I love the Lord because He's inclined His ear to me, and therefore, for the rest of my life, I'm going to call on the Lord. I'm calling on Jesus. I'm calling, and not as a fire escape. I'm not using my God as a fire escape. Live a life, you know, without Him, and then I get in trouble, and I use God like a fire escape, you know. Oh, God! You know, and you know, waiting for the, you know, for the stairs to appear so I can make my escape. No. Every day I walk with Him. Every day I want to call on Him. Every day. Every day. Every day. My God's not a fire escape. My God is the living way. He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my high tower. It's in Him that I run. His name is a strong tower. You see, and so I love Him because He answers me. And there are some things I'm waiting on to be answered. I've prayed for people. I've prayed for children. I've prayed for events. I've prayed for money. I've prayed for situations to develop. And I'm waiting on the answers. But you see, I have this confidence in God that He has heard me. And I'm not working to get this done. I'm just working and making sure God has heard me. The whole secret of prayer, answered prayer, is just getting God to hear you. I love the Lord because He's heard me. And this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. You see, the Apostle John, who is the great apostle of love, the one that was so close to Jesus, you know, he says this. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know, so if you know that He has heard you because you prayed according to His will, then you also know, even though it's not showed up yet, and it hasn't appeared yet, and it hasn't happened yet, you know in your heart that you got it. You know that you got it. And when you know that you got it, then it's going to come to pass. We know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. See, God wants you to move into that kind of faith, that kind of expectation, that kind of assurance, that kind of confidence, and get delivered from the fears and the insecurities that you have suffered over the years. He wants you to come into a place of confidence so that you can minister to people in that confidence. And you're going to tell them, you know, the Lord Jesus is going to correct this situation. He's going to work this out. And then you see, you actually move into a prophetic mode to where you can speak prophetically to people. And the thing that you say comes to pass. Over the last 40 years, I don't know, I've prophesied to hundreds of people, hundreds of people. The cool thing is I've gotten hundreds of answers back that it came to pass. You see, there is this confidence you get. You're really hearing from the Lord God. You're really speaking His word. You have this confidence in Him, and it's because you've gotten Him to hear you. You have to understand that the Most High God is listening to 7 billion people. He's got His eye on 7 billion people. That's how many is on the face of the earth, about 7.5 billion. And you see, He's not just paying attention to His children. He's paying attention to those who aren't His children. Because He loves them too. And He's not willing that any man should perish. And so the Most High God is on His throne. And He's paying attention to the 7 billion people crawling around here on the earth. And then He's looking out from His throne and He sees His universe that goes on and on and on. And there's billions and trillions of galaxies out there, bigger than our own Milky Way galaxy. And He's looking at all and He's paying attention to that. And so you know what? You want to get His attention. Because you want Him to hear you. Can't you see Him on His throne? And here you are and you say, Father, in Jesus' name. And as soon as you said that, He just cocks His head toward you. He just turns His head toward you because you just said, Father, in Jesus' name. And He's listening. He's listening. The Most High God. And the Lord is paying such attention that angels are gathered about that throne. Do you feel it? I feel His presence gathered about that throne. They're listening. And they're taking those prayers of yours, some of them He doesn't answer right away. He's just taking them. He's putting them in these golden bowls, the prayers of the saints. He's putting them there. It's not that He's denied you, because delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. Some people give up on God because, well, it didn't happen. Well, how long has it been? 3 days? 3 months? 3 years? Abraham waited for Isaac 25 years. You see, those stories are in the Bible to encourage you and me. Those stories are in the Bible to encourage you and me. And the very thing that Michael was bringing out in Romans 4 about becoming fully persuaded that what God had ate was promised, he was able to perform. That didn't happen with Abraham overnight. It was through a 25. And how do I know that? Because Abraham said, hey, wait a minute. Ishmael, let Ishmael be the promise. Let my son Ishmael be the one, the covenant son. And God said, no, you had that one out of the flesh. You ever done anything to help God? Oh, man, am I preaching this morning. You ever done anything to help God? Have you ever done anything to help God? Yes. Just say, if you can't say yet, just nod your. Yes, we all have. We all have had our Ishmaels. All that Ishmael may live before you, Lord God. And the Lord's saying, Jeff, I have an Isaac for you. Your Sarah is going to give you an Isaac. Abraham, believe. So you believe. Delay is not denial. He becomes fully persuaded. He looks at his own body. In those days, they didn't have mirrors like we have. But, you know, he probably looked at himself in a pond or a lake, and there's this reflection coming back. And he's saying, man, I'm 100 years. I'm 65 today. Lord God, is that me? And I'm going to have a baby? And then he looks over at Sarah, and she's a knockout. I mean, even at 90, I mean, yeah, but she is 90, and her womb has been lifeless all her life, and he's looking at her, and then he has one more look. You know what he does? He looks up. He looks up, because God had said, Abraham, look up, because as the stars in the sky, so will your descendants be. And he looks up. You see, you can look at yourself all day long, and it'll defeat you. You can look at another person all day long, and it'll defeat you. Or you can look up. You can look up. And God had promised Abraham descendants as the stars of the sky in multitude. So the last look was up, and he believed. We're told he believed. And as soon as he believed, there was this transformation that came over Abraham. Righteousness was imparted to him. And then God would appear to him. Go back and read about Abraham. God would appear to him as men or angels. They'd talk with him, deal with him. You see, God is paying attention. The thing you want to do is get God to hear you. See, look at this confidence. Go back. Go to number one, sweetheart. Look at this. You see, answered prayer is the best kind of prayer. I like all kinds of prayer, but answered prayer is the best kind. Whatever kind of prayer you're praying, it's the answered ones we want. And this is what's so sweet. So here's this. I love the Lord because he heard my voice, because he inclined his ear to me. That's why you love him. All right, go to the next one, hon. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, and look how John's talking. John believes the Lord's coming back. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. A confidence. This word confidence is much deeper than what you're saying, or maybe what you're thinking and what I'm saying. Because the word confidence actually carries the idea that you have this great openness to God. You have this great openness to God. You're not hiding from God like, you know, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. You know, that's the great curse on humanity, that fear that came into Adam. And he hid himself. Once he looked forward and listened for God to come walking in the garden, and the next thing, he's hiding from God. You know, he's shrinking back. All the fears and insecurities that entered into Adam because of his sin. And what this word means, just the opposite. Just the opposite. No more fears, no insecurity. So when Jesus Christ comes, you know what? You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to be ashamed. And not only that, But this word actually means that when the Lord God comes, because you walk with him, because you abide in him, he is not going to put you to shame. He is not going to put you to shame. You know, a lot of Christians think the day is coming, they're going to stand before the judgment throne of God, and they're going to be judged, and they're going to be put to shame. That is an absolute lie from hell. That is a lie from hell. That word means confidence, propitia in the Greek. That word means that you have this great openness to God and you're looking for him. And when he comes, you're not ashamed and he's not going to put you to shame. So you have this confidence. You have this confidence. You have this confidence. You are sons of God. Some of you, you listened, no put down, but you think you got, oh yeah, I got that all figured out. I'm a son of God. A son of God. A son of God. Like the Son of God. We are in this world, and yet we don't know what we are, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he really is. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. All of that is in 1 John. So you get this confidence in God. You abide in him. You know what does that mean? It means just every day you just stay in him. Like this morning, like some of you old guys, you did with me. We rolled out and sat on the edge of the bed. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. 65 years today. Think of that. I made it. I made it. Thank you, Lord. I just abide in him. Here we go. And I go out and get my coffee. My bride's out there. Glory to God. So, okay, next one, sweetheart. Next one. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And just some things, a few of the things, maybe one or two things we ask, we receive from him. Oh, wait, I misread that, didn't I? What's that word? Whatever. We ask from him, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are right in his sight. I know. I tell you, he loads us down with commandments. Whew. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love each other just like a neighbor. There you are. No, you can eat pork. You can wear wool with linen. You're not under Old Testament law. Those are the two commandments. To believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you say, but you don't know my neighbor. No, but I hope you know your God. I hope you know your God. Because if you do, you have confidence in him. You see? And your own heart isn't smacking you around. Uh-oh. Oh, I could just do a moonwalk if I was Michael Jackson. You know, I'd just, woo! Yeah, I'm just telling you, you know your God, and your own heart doesn't condemn you, and you have this boldness. You have this confidence. So I've asked the Lord for several hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy land and to build a building here. Well, I can take it a few thousand at a time, 100,000 at a time. I have a friend, I think I told you this, a friend, somebody in the church invited him over, and see, this could be some of you, because God's going to give you this much. But he went over, he was an insurance salesman and had an insurance company, And he said, I want to hear your vision for the church. And he gave him the vision for the church, and he just slid a check across the table. And my friend picked it up, Daniel just stuck it in his pocket, walked out and sat in his old beat-up truck, looked at it, $100,000. $100,000. A few months went by. This guy calls him back over to his house, gets out of his old beat-up truck, My pastor friend goes in, sits down at the table to him, says, "Now tell me, what else is going on in the church? How is this vision developed?" He tells him, slides another check across the table. This one, he goes out, it's only $75,000. You know, what a letdown. You see, the thing is, I'm trying, the Spirit of the Lord through this old man here is trying to lift your conception of what God can do for you. If you will do this, if you will walk with him and keep his commandments, and that's love God, love. You know, it's double love. Love. Love God, love human beings. Love. Easy? No, didn't say that, but possible. So, you have this confidence. Your own heart doesn't beat you up. Next one, sweetheart. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. Look at this. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I want to say probably just about none of you believe that. Yeah, you say, "Hey, man, I do believe that. That's a word. I do believe that." Go look at yourself in the mirror and say, "As Jesus Christ is, so am I." Okay? All right, there you go. And he didn't tell me that before. You have to become convinced. Fully persuaded in your own heart that what God says you are. Not your human Adam experience. Adam and Eve is not you anymore, in the sense you're in the last Adam. You take your identity from him. And it's building your, it's not to make you great, it's to make him great. Your boast is in the Lord. Your confidence is in the Lord. You give him the glory. You give him the honor. You give him the praise. You worship him. You point to him. It's him. But you just come to this place where as he is, so are we in this world. And look at this. Love has been perfected among us in this, completed, that we may have boldness. That word boldness, same word John's been using all everywhere else John translates it or gives it to us, confidence, same word, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, propitia, that we may have propitia in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. On the day of judgment, you're going to stand there wide open. It means that you're just wide open to God. And have you ever seen a person when they're just really listening to you and they really are receiving what you're saying? Their whole being, they just begin to focus, and their eyes will just open up. You know when somebody's, you know, they're not believing you and they're scowling at you, you know, they slit down their eyes, that's the way they, but when somebody's really listening, you know, it's like when I told Cindy I loved her, her big brown eyes just opened up. And I was hooked, you know. That was the end. March of 1970, Manchester High School. I was done. But that's the way it is with God. I'm making light of it. For some of you, the lighten up and get this, lighten up. Glory to God. Quit being moody. Boldness. You have confidence in the day of judgment. And it means that on that day, listen, I want to say it again because I want you to hear it. It means on that day, the Lord is not coming to put you to shame. You will not be ashamed on that day, and he's not coming to put you to shame. And I've heard that preaching, listen, it used to scare me. God's on his throne. You know, he's going to have the big screen, your sins he's going to throw up there. And what kind of a God is that? That's a bully. People think this great eternal creator creates human beings so he can just beat them up, be a bully. Here, feel bad about that, and feel bad about that, and here, take that. That isn't God. That's Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's why you don't want to be like him. That's why you don't want to go around accusing people. That's why James says all he says in James 3 about your tongue, your mouth. Oh, man. This may be my last sermon. I may just get translated out of here. Come on. Lord. I don't jump as high as I used to. But I'm trying. I'm just telling you, saints, you're not going to be ashamed. Now, you tell Satan to hit the road about that. I'm telling you as the Lord's servant, he is not pleased with you about that, that you listen to that, because that is not you. And as long as you hold on to those little lies, you're going to go in this little circle. And God is trying to move you out. He's trying to move you out. And the last one we've already looked at. This is the confidence we have in him. We have in him. Go back and read those scriptures out of 1 John. We have it in him. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything, anything, what do you need? Oh, and of course, don't give me any of that religious nonsense. Well, I'm going to ask for 3 Cadillacs. I'm going to get, 5 Escalades. No. Be real, be scriptural, be biblical, and ask according to the will of God. And if you need a Cadillac, then ask him for it. He'll give you a car. He's given us cars. We've given cars to people. Man, I had this 1969 Cutlass Supreme. Man, oh man, was that thing hot. It was this yellow. I mean, this, oh man, this sunshine yellow, all decked out with chrome. And man, that thing got it on. And the Lord said, give it to that brother. So I did. And I think I ended up for a while driving an old beat up Pinto. I only tell you that because the Lord, he's working to make us free. He's working just to open you up, you know, and quit thinking all the things you think. You have a God who has your back. So what happened? I had somebody come and say, here's the keys. I looked out there. It was a Buick Riviera. This is a long time ago. It was back in the 70s, 80s maybe. Buick Riviera. It was sweet, especially the first ones when they came out. So here you are. That was after we gave the Cutlass Supreme away. And we told nobody about that, by the way. We weren't, I gave my car away. You know, what would you like to give me? I just hate all that nonsense. So what God wants to do is have in your heart, build such a confidence in your heart that you know he's got your back. And he's going to listen to you. And you're going to love him because he's going to hear your voice. He's going to incline his ear. He's going to help you. This morning, I want you to grab this with your heart. I want you to enter into this. God is building you as his son and daughter, into a child that has absolute confidence in him. And where you are so open that you are looking for his appearing, and you're not ashamed, and he's not coming to put you to shame. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for your people this morning, this word that Lord, you have sown, and you have cast out his seed for their hearts. I thank you for the good ground. I thank you for the 30, the 60, the 100-fold, the fruit and harvest that is already, Father, beginning to form in the fertility of their hearts. That, Father, this is exceedingly good ground before me. And I want to thank you, Father, your people, as never before, will have just an absolute delight in you and a confidence in you that you have their back. That, Lord, they will seek your face. As much as they've asked from your hand, Lord, they will seek your face. They will desire your heart. They will be like David of old, who said, I love the Lord, because he has heard the cry of my heart. He has inclined his ear to my sayings. This is the Lord God. This is the one who loves us and cares for you. And I just want you to open your heart and just allow the Spirit of God to sink these truths deep. I know I come on strong, but I do that without apology. I do that because the Lord wants you to hear it. He wants your hearts to be stirred to take a hold of him in a way you've never taken hold of him before. And to rest assured, the Lord knows what you're going through as our great high priest. He is sympathetic. He is understanding. And he is there to minister grace and mercy to you and to help you in your time of need. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. He's not going to let go of you. He's going to bring you in. He's going to cause you to grow up. He's going to use you most gloriously. You're going to be a sharpened sword. He is making your mouth like a sharpened sword, and he is giving you an edge that is going to cause others to believe and to come into life, healing, wholeness, and perfection in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you this morning for your goodness to us. You, if you're here this morning, anyone here this morning, you haven't met Jesus Christ. You don't know him. You don't have this confidence. Well, then you come on up here. We'll pray for you. We'll lay hands upon you. We'll speak the word of the Lord over you. You will have just a joy fill your soul. You will understand that God is actually singing over you and that there is this confidence you can have in the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. What a great God you are. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to stand with me. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out, heaven come down. Spirit break out, heaven come down. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom come. Yes, we want to see your kingdom come.
Man, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, my God.
Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Ha! The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you feel that?
Hallelujah. Just reach out with your hearts and your hands. Say, Father, I receive that for which I have asked according to your will. I have a great confidence in you to bring it to pass. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Tear my walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival. Can you see it?
Whoa. Revival.
Can you see
Ooh,
it?
Revival.
Yes, can you see
revival.
It?
Revival. Hallelujah.
King
revival.
Jesus.
Revival. Hallelujah, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon this city. Lord God, this city is the city of God. Jackson County is your county, your land. Hallelujah. My God, my King, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. How great you are. How great you are. Seymour, the city of God. Jackson County, the county of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Let's give the Lord a standing ovation. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you. You are faithful. Man. Well, let that sustain you this week. Let it embolden you in spirit. Be in prayer. Dr. Tim is coming. Men's meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. Prayer on Tuesday night, right here, 6:30. Bible study. We're dealing on Wednesday nights now with health and healing. Dealing with health and healing in the March study. So come and hear. God bless you, saints. Love you. Have a great week.